We have a... It's recording? Yes. Yeah. We have a koyach on Purim that we learned from our enemy, that we gained from our enemy. Our enemy gave us a power that the truth is all of you know this power. You intuit this power on Purim. But I think it's worth speaking out because we can do a lot more with it. It's a lot more potent if we could speak it out. So let's talk about our enemy a little bit. Haman appears in the Megillah for the first time when? Paragimel. As anyone who ever had a good thing to bang by Haman knows. Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh as Haman. But that's not really the first time that Haman appears in the Megillah. What's really the first time he appears? Memuchan. Memuchan is the first mention of Haman, according to Chazal, in the Megillah. And what does Memuchan do in the beginning of the Megillah? He advises the Melech to kill Vashti. A very risky thing to do. So risky that when Achashverosh called the Chachamim Yoidei Ha'itim, who were they?
Sanhedrin.
Chachachme Yisrael. And he asked them what to do. They said, you know, during Golos, it's hard for us to give good advice. They didn't want to say. Because what do you say? If you say, kill her, he wakes up the next morning, he's like, I can't believe you told me to kill my wife. If he says, don't kill her, he says, well, you don't care if someone's not respectful to the king? You can't win. It's a lose-lose situation. But Haman, Memuchan, advises Achashverosh to kill Vashti, and he does so in the most chutzpahdika way. What does Chazal learn from Memuchan over there? It says, Melamed, Shehedyet Kaifetz Barash. Because Memuchan is listed of the seven advisors of the king. What number is Memuchan?
Last.
He's number seven. And he's the one that speaks up. He's a chutzpahnik. And you find this throughout the Megillah that that Haman was like, it had an inflated presence, and he had chutzpah. The Medrash says that when it says Gidel HaMelech Achashverosh as Haman, that Haman's seat in the throne room of Achashverosh was higher than Achashverosh's. That's mind-boggling. In fact, even when Haman decided, when Haman's wife Zeresh advised him that Mordechai should be hung on an Eitz Gavaya Chamishim Amma, she didn't say, ask the king to hang Mordechai on it. She said, Emor la Melech, tell the king. You don't say tell. I once dealt with the family that the way that they would talk is, I'm going to tell Tati to do this. I'm going to tell Mommy to bring me to the doctor. And I used to always correct them. You mean you're going to ask Mommy to bring you to the doctor? It's just not a way. You don't tell someone that you're supposed to be respecting. You ask them. You don't say emor. You don't tell the melech to hang him. You're mevakesh from the melech. And not Haman. Haman, why didn't Haman get killed? Why? You know, Achashverosh did wake up the next day a little bit regretful. Right? It was Shachacha Chamas HaMelech, right? Chamas HaMelech Shachacha. Kishoich Chamas HaMelech Achashverosh. Zachar, what's the lashon? Zachar is Vashti V'Yis Asher Asasa. The Ace Asher Nigzar Oleo. And he was missing his wife. But Haman was untouchable. You know why? So Rav Ephraim Waxman quoted a Reb Tzaddik about 4 years ago. And he said as follows. He said there's two types of chutzpah. We all know this. There's two types of chutzpah. There's chutzpah that's very, very offensive. Sometimes a person could have chutzpah and it's extremely offensive and hurtful. But there's also a certain type of chutzpah that's like endearing. Like an endearing chutzpah. that, like, you know, like the Talmud that could get away with saying something to his Rebbe that usually can't get away with. You know that guy? So that's a chutzpah. It's like an endearing chutzpah. I'll tell you a story. Did I just tell you this thing about the thing? You know what I'm about to say? So funny, because when Rabbi Waxman said a different story. Let me first tell you Rabbi Waxman's story. And then I'll tell you that. And then when he was saying that story, I thought of the story. I'm going to say it again. But Rabbi Waxman's story was about a little kid, a four-year-old kid, that every night he woke up in the middle of the night and came in and woke up his mother. And finally, his mother said, "You know, you're a big boy. You're 4 years old. It's time for you to. If you wake up in the middle of the night, so close your eyes and go back to sleep." And the next night, the kid woke up his mother again. So she said, "You know, you don't have to wake me up. You could just go back to sleep. Don't wake me up." So the next night, the kid woke up his mother again. It was an Israeli kid. It was Rabbi Waxman's nephew. He woke up his mother again. So he comes into the room, and his mother says, "I told you not to wake me up." So he says to her, so he's like in trouble. He says to her, "Aval ani amotek shelach. I'm your sweetie." So, what is that? That's like I know I wasn't supposed to wake you up, but I'm cute, right? It's a certain kind of endearing chutzpah, but my story is better. My story, I told over to the shir the other day. I have I'll do it a little bit briefer because some guys heard this already. But in Chaim Berlin and Pachad Yitzchak, where I went, the Rosh Hashiva is a much older man, and he's we were terrified of him. Okay, we shook in his presence. You didn't just make jokes. You didn't go over to the Rosh Hashiva to tell him a good joke. You didn't do that. It was not a thing. Okay, it's funny, when I was in 11th grade, a guy, just to show you like the culture there, a guy walked over to my Rebbe and said, "Rebbe, nice tie." And I heard across the basement, I heard the Rebbe screaming at him, "The chutzpah, you walk over and tell your Rebbe, nice tie." I wish I had a tie for every time a guy came over and said to me, "Nice tie." Okay? So, thank you. But anyway, so there was a guy there in yeshiva. He was a bachur at the time. He's a rav in Lakewood now. And he was that guy that was able to say things to the Rosh Hashiva that nobody else could say. And there was a break front in the Rosh Hashiva's dining room. And in the break front, there was some silver thing there, a kais or something. And it said on the thing, "Mazel tov to whatever the Rabbi Yonason David and his Rebbetzin on the event of his marriage, you know, on this and this date, given to him by Mesifta Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin." So my friend kept in mind the date, and when it was the Rosh Hashiva's anniversary, he went over to him. He was actually by a wedding. He walked over to him, and he said to the Rosh Hashiva, "I hope it's okay, if it's all right. I just want to wish the Rosh Hashiva a happy anniversary." And the Rosh Hashiva was like, "What? How did..." And he didn't say what. He was just like, "How did you know?" So, but he got away with it. I would not be alive today to tell the story. Okay? Then the guy was like, "Wow, that went so well. I'm gonna try it on the Rebbetzin." Now the Rebbetzin was like super, super, super sharp. So he walks over to the Rebbetzin. He says, "If it's okay, I want to wish the Rebbetzin a happy anniversary." She's like, "You looked in the break front." You know, like, he got the date from the break front. You know, but anyway, that's a type. It's a type of chutzpah. If you're not that guy, don't try it. Okay? It's a type of chutzpah. There's some people that have that way that they can push in further. The Talmud that can get into his Rebbe's life in a way, or the Eved that can get into the Melech's life, or the guy that hangs out with Rebbe Yashiv. You know, that guy that just figured out a way to make himself indispensable, and he became, you know, like that person that figures out a way to ingratiate himself and to get in. And that was Haman's Midah. Haman had that effect on Achashverosh. That was Memuchan, who could be the youngest one or the lowest stature. And he's like, oh, my opinion is you should kill her. Kill her. You know, but it was his Memuchan. You know, Achashverosh, you know, he had a soft spot for Haman. When Haman fell, Reb Tzadik says that in the process of Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, they took Haman's midah. That's one of the things we do sometimes, is that we learn from our Yetzihara how to serve Hashem. They took Haman's midah. And there's a midah, even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the right time, that you could be endearingly chutzpedik. That's why the derech of Esther going into Achashverosh was to go in Asher Loikados. She was not invited. She knocked on the door. You don't get away with that by Achashverosh. As you know, Esther explains in full detail. You know, you don't just, you know, Rak es asher, you know, Yoshit as Sharvet Hazav, Achai. You know, the king has to give you a special dispensation. Not anybody gets to walk in uninvited to the Melech. Rabbi Waxman, when he said this over, he even said, like, I don't understand. How did anyone get an appointment with Achashverosh? You never got an appointment with him? He was a king and sat there? Like, what do you think? He said, probably there was a process where you asked for an appointment. Calendly. Where you asked for an appointment. Right? There was probably some kind of mechanism for it, right? So why didn't she just do that? Why didn't she tell the Eved or leave a note or whatever you're supposed to do? You know, send an email, whatever you got to do. But, you know, however you get an appointment, there's got to be a way. There's no such a thing. You don't have a melech and you can't get an appointment with him. Rabbi Waxman said, no, she dafka needed to do it. She was taking a page out of Haman's book. She's going to go in, asher loy kadas. She's going to enter the throne room of the king uninvited, but it's representative of something, Rabbi said. Because the melech is not just Achashverosh. The melech is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just like the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year, you don't just stam walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a place of intimacy and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't just wander into. But Esther said, I'm going to take this midah, that ani amotek shalach, you know, I'm your sweetie, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you love me. I know that I'm a yid, and there's nothing I could do to make you stop loving me. And I'm just going to walk into the throne room. Asher lo kados. I'm just going to enter, just throwing myself on your love. And she went in her tefillos, and her approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she went in a place that ordinarily you can't do. Ordinarily you say, I don't know if I have the zechuyos for that. I don't know if I'm enough of a tzaddik. I don't know if I have a right to ask. No. Esther took a hold of Haman's midah, and she walked into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, figuratively, into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and Vatilbash Esther Malchus, she wore Malchus, she put on all of her beautiful, beautiful midahs, and she enters into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every single one of us has that power on Purim. We have a little bit of chutzpah on Purim. We could act like a bunch of peasant drunks. And we don't care. We know Hashem loves us. We just don't care. We're just like, you know, we just don't care. We know it's going to be okay. We're going to get away with this. Because on Purim, it's Asher Loi Kadas. On Purim, we blast open the gates of heaven just by the fact that I am your sweetie. That's it. I know you love me. Purim is a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and does not see cheshbonos. It's not a day of cheshbonos. It's not a day of mitzvahs and aveiros, zechuyos. No. Purim is a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael and just loves Yidden because we are Yidden. That's it. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shaloi Asani Goy. That's it. Anybody that was on the list to be killed by Haman gets that love on Purim. And everyone here was on that list. And that's what we stand in front of Hashem and we ask Hashem for anything. We don't say, I don't know if I get... Maybe there's someone sitting here that wants to be a person that knows nigla and nister backwards and forwards and has an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the deepest levels. And maybe tonight by Mayriv, when you're saying Atachainain, you feel a little funny to ask that, because I don't know if I learn with enough asmada or if I have a pure enough mind that I have the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to just give me that wisdom. Okay, I hear. Not on Purim, though. On Purim, you ask. You tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what your deepest ratzon is. And you go in front of Hashem, and Hashem just loves you that day. No cheshbainas. Vayoyma memuchan. Hediyat kaifetz barash. There's no cheshbainas. You just jump in and you ask Hashem for what he wants, but Rabbi say there is one thing you have to make sure of. This is the secret of Purim. If I want to stand in front of Hashem, and I have a lot of baggage. I've done aveiros. I have bad midos. It's not so simple. But I want to stand in front of Hashem on Purim, and I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forget all that and just say, oh, I love you. But you know, I'm not Hashem's only child. Because the person sitting next to you is also Hashem's child. And if you want Hashem to look at you completely with an ayin tov, I don't care if you're from, I don't care if you're not from. I don't care if you learn 20 hours a day, I don't care if you learn 20 seconds a day. It doesn't matter. Purim, it doesn't matter. All that matters is we are kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. We're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'ni b'chayri Yisrael. That's what matters on Purim. If I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at me that way, I need to look at his children that way. I need to be consistent. I can't be a hypocrite. I need to be real about this. And that's why on Purim, we have a tremendous toiv ayin. Kol ha'poshet yad, noisnim loy. Anybody asks for something, we give them. You haven't had this? I have danced with beers on Purim. I didn't even know who they were. I just had a pretty good idea that they were Jewish. I've danced with Big Bird on Purim, apparently a Jewish version. Okay? It doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't care. We're not measuring. This is not sheer placement where we have to know exactly where you're up to in learning so we could place you in a share. No, no, no. If you're a Yid on Purim, I love you. If you're a Yid and you come into my house and you bring Shalachmanas, my heart is open to you. If I'm walking in the street and I see some crazy people dancing on top of a car and screaming their heads off, I'm like, oh, holy Jews. I'm just excited to see Yidden on Purim. Because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees them on Purim. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves and connects with them on Purim. Purim is about the essence of being a Yid. Yeah, we have to sometimes measure both sides. Sometimes we have to have smoil doicha, yamin makarev. Sometimes we have to be measured. Sometimes there's a midas adin. Sometimes we have to say no to people about things. Not on Purim. Purim is not that day. Purim, walk over to random strangers and hug them. Purim, walk over to random people collecting money and give them money. Purim, just look out over the mass of Yiddishkeit that you see around you on Purim and just thank Hashem. Ashreinu matov chelkenu, umanoim goyroleinu, umayofa yirushaseinu. Just thank Hashem that we were chosen to be part of this incredible nation of Klal Yisrael. That is the whole Purim. That's the avoda of Purim. And I think that it's something we could start working on now because we are heading into Shabbos Zachar. Shabbos Zachar, an amazing thing. Shabbos Zachar, you remember a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week even, that I told you about telling the little girls that 3,335 years ago, Hashem gave us the Torah? The only other time of the year that I mention how many years it's been is when I get the Aliyah for Parshas Zachar. So I get called up because I'm the Rav there, so they call me up for Parsha Zachar, and I always turn around before the Aliyah, and I speak to the shul about being quiet and having in mind and whatever it is, the announcement that we make a Parsha Zachar. But I don't like to just say, it's Parsha Zachar, you have to have in mind. I don't like to do that. I like to give a little context. So I always say, do the same announcement that I'm going to do it this Shabbos. I always announce 3,330, whatever many years it is this year, 35 years ago, Amalek attacked us. 3,335 years ago. It's a couple of years. Hashem will not forgive them because they started up with his motek. They started up with his children. Don't start up with my children. I will never forget it if you start up with my children. I love them too much. And Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting ready to hug us with Matan Torah, and Amalek gets in the way, and Amalek starts up. Vayavay Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you hear these words, the following words on Shabbos, you should start crying. Hak says, Milchama Lashem ba'Amalek. Hashem is wages war against Amalek, midar dar, for generation and generation. For all generations. When you hear those words, you think to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not forget when someone starts up with me. Because that's how much he loves me. Because we're that chutzpahdik. We're that endearing chutzpah. That we could say what we want to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we're his. And it's true, the rest of the year we have all kinds of cheshbainus because that's what Gazra Chachma say, that the way to get our schar is by working hard and schar va'aynish and bechira and so on. But there's one day a year that we just remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asher bachar banu mikolam, and he just loves us unconditionally, unstoppably, no matter what. And I pity the person that tries to start up with one of Hashem's people. So let's start this Shabbos. When you hear that, this Shabbos, let's start getting in the habit of looking around. You know, some of us have critical minds. We look around and we think, oh, this guy doesn't have good midos, this guy has a horrific voice, this guy is annoying, this guy is, doesn't show up, this guy shows up too much, you know, whatever it is, you know. We have a commentary on everyone. Not today. Not this time of year. This time of year, we could have a commentary on everyone. Think of the people in your life and think about their milas. You know what's pathetic about us? Excuse me? What's pathetic about us is that when someone dies, we come up with all kinds of wonderful things to say about them. And my challenge to you is not to wait for people to die, but to go through this Shabbos and this Tainus Esther and this Purim and see how delicious everyone is. Everyone should live till 120, and we should be able to see the beauty in every single person. We are a group of beautiful people. And we are a nation of beautiful people, Yashikaya.